Back to Washington now. We've all read the public summary of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report from Attorney General William Barr. But one of the biggest questions surrounding that report now is whether the public will get to see it all. Former independent counsel Ken Starr argued this weekend that Mueller should not produce a public report. Starr, you may remember, wrote a 445-page report in 1998 that led to the impeachment of President Bill Clinton. In a piece for The Atlantic this weekend, Starr defended the regulations that require that Mueller stay silent. The rules surrounding the special counsel's findings are specific, and they're there, says Starr, for a reason. So now we turn to an insider about this history. Robert Ray is a former federal prosecutor and independent counsel for the Whitewater investigation. Welcome to the show, Robert.
Thanks. Nice to be with you.
So first, your initial reaction to how this investigation wrapped up. Were there any surprises for you?
Let me just say initially that I actually don't agree with Ken Starr about that. And more importantly, I don't think that the Attorney General, Bill Barr, does either. And as the Attorney General has already said in his letter yesterday, the public interest counsels in favor of full disclosure consistent with the law, regulations, and so on and so forth. So there are some exceptions. But I think you're going to see disclosure of Bob Mueller's report in one fashion or another.
We keep talking about how or whether the public is entitled to know, how much the public is entitled to know, how much Congress is entitled to know. There have been dozens of indictments spread out over months. Wondering if the real impact of the investigation has somewhat been diluted because of these indictments coming out over time versus coming out, you know, over the weekend.
To speak to your initial point, to the question of what is the public entitled to know, that, you know, obviously that's a difficult question, isn't it? And I think that with regard to uncharged individuals, the public's not really entitled to know about that, including members of the president's family, by the way, with the exception of the president. Because the president is subject to consideration by Congress in its function under the Constitution to determine whether or not, in its oversight capacity, an impeachable offense may have been committed. I do think that the Congress is entitled to the benefit of that information relative to that point. But fairness dictates, consistent with longstanding Department of Justice policy, that if you're not going to charge somebody, and this was the point that Starr was trying to make, and I think it is applicable to everybody except the president, the public is not entitled to know all the back and forth and the ins and outs with regard to a prosecutorial decision declining to prosecute someone.
So were there any other surprises for you? Were there any surprises at all at how this wrapped up?
No. I mean, my question going into this was, would the findings and conclusions that Bill Barr indicated in his first letter would be forthcoming over the weekend, would it address the question of the constitutionality of indicting or charging a sitting president aside, would there be resolution with regard to the principal focus of the investigation, i.e., in connection with collusion, was there a provable case there against the Trump campaign or any members of the Trump campaign, which would include the president? And then second, with regard to obstruction of justice, and frankly, the more interesting question, would there be resolution of that as well? And there was. So, I mean, I was maybe like many Americans surprised that the path chosen by Bob Mueller with regard to the obstruction piece as it concerned the president was to lay out in the report apparently his evaluation of the evidence and leave the decision in this instance to the attorney general to make, which, by the way, I think was a politically savvy decision to make. I think it was important out of all of this for the Department of Justice to speak with one voice. And that is something that I think, you know, from an historical perspective, is important to remember. This is a very different environment than the independent counsel environment, where you had Congress passing a statute providing the independent counsel with complete independence. That is not the world that we live in any longer. After the demise of the independent counsel statute, when it expired in 1999, the Department of Justice instituted regulations under then Attorney General Janet Reno, and that's the environment we've operated under from that point forward.
So let me take a step back here, because this history is critical to where we are today.
It is.
I wanted to talk a little bit about how the roles and the rules of the special counsel have changed. You mentioned 1999. What changed? What did Janet Reno do that changed?
The regulations envision that in a case in which the department is conflicted, and this applied to this circumstance, remember the Attorney General had recused himself from the matter. That was then Jeff Sessions, right? And Rod Rosenstein, the Deputy Attorney General, filling in as the acting Attorney General for this purpose, decided in the wake of the firing of Jim Comey that it wasn't appropriate and in the public interest for the department itself to continue the investigation. The regulations then provide for the appointment of a special counsel outside of the Department of Justice, and that's precisely what he did. But understand that in that environment, it's a much more carefully controlled environment from the department, meaning the department still oversees that investigation. And when the special counsel was done, that's where we are now, the special counsel in a confidential report provides findings and conclusions to the Attorney General, and then it's up to the Attorney General to provide notification to Congress about the results of that investigation.
Ken Starr over the weekend did write about these quote-unquote regulatory handcuffs. What are those?
I'm not sure it's fair to characterize them as handcuffs, but there was much criticism of the final report requirement during the days when the independent counsel statute was operative. Now, there were constraints on what an independent counsel could do regarding a final report, but it allowed for a pretty fulsome disclosure. It was directed that that report be filed with the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit, the special division of that court. After people named in the report had an opportunity to confidentially view that report and include their comments, the report plus the comments were then released for publication by the government printing office and filed with the public. So that's the distinction there. Now, Starr is also talking about a separate reporting requirement under the independent counsel statute, and that was this. And this is where there's a little mischief, because the language of the statute was, if the independent counsel finds substantial and credible information to believe that an impeachment offense may have been committed.
May have been. These are key words.
Right. That required under the statute the independent counsel to notify Congress. And that was the Starr report. It was fairly open-ended. Starr took that statutory mandate seriously. It was a very low bar. He has now since said it was too low of a bar. But there is and remains, in my view, this is where I part from Ken Starr on this, obviously a substantial public interest, including by the people's elected representatives in the House of Representatives, to be informed about whether impeachable offenses may have been committed. Ultimately, it's their determination that controls. Now, where we're in a different environment is Congress is entitled, I believe, and the public, to a disclosure as much as possible of what Bob Mueller's report says. Where I think that I part with Democrats, though, is that I do not think Congress is entitled to all of the investigatory detail, the background information, investigative reports, the benefits of all the search warrants, all the things that the executive branch does through the Justice Department in order to conduct a criminal investigation. If they want to have an investigation in the House as part of an impeachment inquiry, they're going to have to do that on their own. And I think the department will appropriately resist efforts, whether through opposition to subpoenas or otherwise, to turn over the results of the criminal investigation to the House Judiciary Committee.
Robert Ray is a former federal prosecutor and independent counsel for the Whitewater investigation. He's currently a partner at Thompson & Knight. Robert, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.